Welcome to the South by Southwest Interactive Podcast.
Hey, welcome to the first ever South by Southwest Interactive Festival Podcast. I'm Hugh Forrest. I'm here with Sean O'Keefe. And that typing sound in the background is Catherine Laster. Catherine, say hello to Podcast Land. Thank you, Catherine. They say hello back. So, Sean, tell us what the South by Southwest Interactive Festival podcast is all about.
Good question. We've decided to take the plunge and provide some of the latest news and information on South by Southwest Interactive, available via podcast. And basically, if you're working out or bumming around, this is just another option for you to hear what we're doing.
Sounds good. Speaking of new stuff at South by Southwest, this week is the release of South by Southwest World, which is our new in-house quarterly magazine that focuses on all things South by Southwest. The cover story for the first issue is Dan Rather. Dan's giving the keynote speech at South by Southwest Interactive on Monday, March 12th. There are also stories inside about some of the other people who will be speaking at South by Southwest Interactive this year, including Dana Boyd. And also some information on Will Wright. Will Wright is the game developer who is responsible for The Sims, is also currently working on Spore. And if you want more information on Will Wright, there's a big story on him in the current issue of The New Yorker. He's a really fascinating guy, and he'll be a great addition to the South by Southwest Interactive Festival lineup, and we're really excited to have him involved. So, Sean, I know we confirmed someone recently who you're really excited about. Who's that?
Yes, I'm happy to announce for the first time that we've confirmed Jim Kudal of Kudal Partners out of Chicago. Jim was involved in last year's opening remarks, and I am a big fan. One of the things that they've done recently is 16straight.com, which is basically a t-shirt that they produced from concept to product in about 24 hours, and it's cool stuff. Definitely check it out if you haven't already.
Jim's a great guy, and I really enjoyed his opening remarks last year. Particularly enjoyed that he was able to get my morning jacket into the verbiage there. You know, gotta love an opening remarks that does that. Okay, I think we're ready for this week's interview. So, Sean, take it away.
All right. Well, we're here with Lindsay Simon, a web developer and interface designer here in Austin, Texas, who built the interactive panel picker this year. And for those of you that don't know, the Interactive Panel Picker was an application we built to solicit feedback from the online community. It took an open source approach, two different rounds where every single panel submission that came in, either to Hugh or through the other email addresses that we answer, ended up in this database. And online users would be able to go in and pick their top 10 and rearrange, resort the order, and explore all kinds of details and a lot of interesting things. Lindsay, in interest of full disclosure, this is not the first time we're meeting. We've known each other since back in elementary school up in Dallas, when we used to hang out in the back of Ms. Duff's third grade class and do long division together. And I only bring this up because I'm going to ask the hard-hitting questions. So there's no mercy.
It's true. My first recollection is being at your house and actually watching Thriller at a sleepover. That did happen. That was your house.
Well, who doesn't love Michael Jackson? Come on. All right. Well, in putting the panel picker together, how is it built? Is it using? I mean, most people look at it, they're like, "Oh, it's Ajax on Rails." How's it put together?
Right. Well, the panel picker, is basically the Scriptacula sortable element, and this is a way to take items in a list and reorganize them. And so the idea of the panel picker seemed like a perfect place to use this tool. And, you want to make 1 through 10, you want to change your mind. That was, Ajax or whatever you'd call it. This was a perfect opportunity to do something with JavaScript and without using Flash, without using any other technology, no plugins,
Yeah, because there's a lot of different, JavaScript widgets or different ways to do this. And actually, in a recent article you wrote for XML.com on XML Data Grid and XSLT, you talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think the change is that we're using the server to give us back data and then taking code on the presentation layer to do fun stuff with it. And so, this is the whole change to web services, the whole, you know, focus on using tools more appropriately. And it's great for interface development. So, you know, I get the data from the server, I make it dance and let you play with it and do what you mm-hmm. need to do with it, and then send it back to the web server.
Yeah, and this is essentially at the core of what everybody's calling Web 2.0, 2.2. It's, you know, Web 3.0. Everybody's throwing out different terms. I mean, is this just a buzzword to you, just part of the marketing hype, or do you think that there's a lot of, you know, real coding advances and techniques behind it that warrant kind of a new point, a new digit?
Well, you know, we've been trying to make participation online more fun and easier, and I think that, you know, people going back to what you can now do in JavaScript in a browser without a plugin, without any other software, and that you can, you know, find a browser anywhere and do these dynamic feeling things makes people feel like it's new. And, you know, you could do this before in other technologies, but now that it's so easily available and it feels good, it's tactile, it feels more natural the way you interact with mm-hmm. with some of the interfaces. And, you know, people are appreciating that. You know, you see it on Flickr, you see it on Google. Things are simple. They do what they do well. It's, you know, like comparing the gigantic portals of, you know, Yahoo back in the day to Google now, or the Yahoo search now. It's just simple.
Yeah. Well, you just got back from California where the Open Ajax Alliance was meeting for only the second time. How did everything out there go?
It was fun. It was fun. The Open Ajax Alliance is trying to make it easier for JavaScript developers and Ajax developers to use some of the toolkits together. So if you want to use the Dojo toolkit alongside DWR, alongside Prototype, they'll help enable that. And it's something, you know, bringing toolkit developers together is always something better done as a group. And so they're trying to really help that.
Awesome. Well, Ruby on Rails and Ajax, you know, were very popular topics and obviously big components of this whole Web 2.0 thing. Any predictions on what's next as these things continue to evolve?
I think the web services will continue to drive this. For developers, they'll be able to use web services on, you know, all the big guys out there house these data stores, these big server farms. You can use them at your tiny little computer on a, you know, 56K line and still have this power at your fingertips. So to be able to offload, you know, logging in to Yahoo on your own site is pretty powerful. And so I see a lot of the big players offering more web services, more interesting web services, trying to solve social networking site problems through web mm-hmm. services, making it easier for you to develop community websites around ideas instead of developing technology.
Yeah. And that community factor is a big part of it.
Definitely.
So what are some of your favorites? I mean, you mentioned Google and Yahoo, but obviously Flickr has grown tremendously.
Flickr's great. I like Chowhound. I like, I use Google for my homepage now. You know, being able to configure what you want to sort mm-hmm. of let it come to you is really a nice feeling. I follow Ajaxian a lot. You know, news sites, anything entertaining. It's being done a lot better now.
Well, cool. Well, what kind of stuff inspires you to do what you do?
Seeing good, elegant design that you want to interact with. Mm-hmm. And it be it in any technology. You know, it could be a video game. It could be, you know, a piece of text. Something that feels good and is well-designed.
All right. Awesome. Well, one last quick question for you, and this is related to our tech book tour event that we had recently with John Hodgman at Book People. Which is better, the power of flight or the power of invisibility?
The power of flight. Superman is a powerful man, and I'd like to go faster than him and turn the world around by going around it very fast, 365 times, go back in time. Because that's what you want to fly for, is to go back in time.
Okay. So ultimately, time travel.
Yeah, time travel.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, thanks so much, Lindsay, for dropping by and talking with us today.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you for listening to the South by Southwest Interactive Podcast. Special thanks to Aaron Haley, Francis Pre.